Welcome to day 63 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standard. Today we looked at section 6 of chapter 19 of the Westminster Confession of Faith. We looked at it in overtime. I try to keep these audios to 10 or 15 minutes, but at about 10 minutes we started up looking at that section and it went very long. It took us about an extra 10 minutes. So here's a summary of what section 6 says. True believers are not under the law as a covenant of works to be thereby justified or condemned. Yet, the law is of great use to them as well as to others, in that as a rule of life informing them of the will of God and their duty, it directs and binds them to walk accordingly. The law discovers the sinful pollutions of their nature, hearts, and lives. By examining themselves through the law, they may come to further conviction of humiliation for and hatred against sin. By examining themselves by the law, they may come to a clearer sight of the need they have of Christ and the perfection of his obedience. The law is likewise of use to the regenerate to restrain their corruptions in that it forbids sin. The threatenings of the law serve to show what even their sins deserve, and what afflictions in this life they may expect for them, although freed from the curse thereof threatened in the law. The promises of the law, in like manner, show them God's approbation of obedience and what blessings they may expect upon the performance thereof. Blessings and cursings are not due to them by the law as a covenant of works. A man's doing and refraining from evil because the law encourages to the one and deters from the other is no evidence of his being under the law and not under grace. Now, if you normally read the scripture proofs and you didn't yesterday because you closed the book at 10 minutes into the file, well, go back and listen to the second 10 minutes of yesterday's file and think about those scripture proofs. They're valuable. If you were raised in a church that claims that believers are not obligated to obey God's commandments, as many Christians, well, at least in years past were, I'm not sure how prevalent that is. As a doctrine, it's true that most churches don't teach the commandments and don't really help believers become more like Christ in obedience to the commandments of the Father, but I don't think it's as prevalent that churches actively say that believers are not obligated to obey God's commandments. But if that's you, then you should pay attention to the proof text that we saw yesterday. Westminster Larger Catechism, question 97, restates some of these ideas, so we'll look at that today. Question 97 asks, what special use is there of the moral law to the regenerate? Answer, although they that are regenerate and believe in Christ be delivered from the moral law as a covenant of works, so as thereby they are neither justified nor condemned, yet besides the general uses thereof common to them with all men, it is of special use to show them how much they are bound to Christ for his fulfilling it and enduring the curse thereof in their stead and for their good, and thereby to provoke them to more thankfulness and to express the same in their greater care to conform themselves thereunto as the rule of their obedience. So the first section, that though they are regenerate and believe in Christ and are delivered from the moral law as a covenant of works, and I think the emphasis here is delivered from the condemnation of the law. Romans 6:17, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 7:4, wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of a letter. Galatians 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The second section says that the regenerate are not justified by the law. That's Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall there no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. nor are they condemned by the law. Galatians 5:23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yet, besides the general uses thereof, common to them with all men, the moral law is of special use to show them how much they are bound to Christ for his fulfilling it, and enduring the curse thereof in their stead, and for their good. Romans 7:24 and 25, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Galatians 3:13 and 14, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And Romans 8:3 and 4, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And thereby the moral law provokes the regenerate to more thankfulness. Luke 1:68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And the moral law will then provoke us to express the same in our greater care to conform ourselves to the moral law as the rule of our obedience. Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Titus 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Finally, section 7 of chapter 19 of the Confession. Neither are the aforementioned uses of the law contrary to the grace of the gospel, but do sweetly comply with it, the Spirit of Christ subduing and enabling the will of man to do that freely and cheerfully which the will of God revealed in the law requires to be done. The first phrase, neither are the aforementioned uses of the law contrary to the grace of the gospel, but do sweetly comply with it. Galatians 3:21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Spirit of Christ subduing and enabling the will of man to do that freely and cheerfully which the will of God revealed in the law requires to be done. Ezekiel 36:27, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Compared with Jeremiah 31:33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my mind in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And see also 2 Corinthians 6, which we looked at yesterday. Now tomorrow, on day 64, we'll be looking at the Westminster Larger Catechism, question 99, which asks what rules are to be observed for the right understanding of the Ten Commandments. There are 8 rules given, and I'm not even going to try to talk or to read them today, because we'll definitely do another 20-minute audio as we did yesterday. So if you have time and the interest, go back to yesterday's audio, pick up the last 10 minutes, read the verses from section 6 of chapter 19, and then tomorrow we'll be ready to look at the rules for understanding the Ten Commandments.